Well, good morning, family. It's so good to finally not be... This is not a video. I'm not up here. I assume my face was up there from time to time. I know I apologize, although today I'm still not very well shaven. I know a few times I looked at that ugly mug on the video and I thought, I hope I don't scare away the visitors. You know, but apparently you're all sticking it out, so praise the Lord. And it has been a lot of thousands of miles and a lot of water under the bridge, so to speak, since I went over to Ukraine in about Thanksgiving of last year. Came back the first part of February, and thank God my wife was still remembered what I looked like, and Terry's with us today, so thank God for our little honeymoon down in York. We enjoy the time when we get it. You know, I think for those of you that don't know, we've been living in Lancaster since 2002, and then last year we moved back to our hometown of Titusville, Pennsylvania. People say, why? Why'd you move? Well, we have 10 grandchildren, and 7 of them are up there. 3 of them are here, and the 3 here have been loved on enough. Well, never enough, right? In fact, all 3 of them woke us up this morning early because they don't know what time changes mean. And... But we've got 7 wonderful grandchildren back in Northwestern PA. 2 of our sons are back there, Ethan and Ben. Zachary's here in Lancaster. So that divides us across the state. Of course, Bob lives up there. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Bob actually moved up into the country a mile from my home where I was raised, out in the woods, out in the sticks. He's way out in the forest. And him and Sharon, you can't get there from here. And so I was here last week, and I want to make an amendment on some of the perception. You know, I think I said it a little bit there, but Bob's not like going away forever. You know, we wanted to thank him for his investment of getting an Airbnb and being here for 3 months. But he's on a short leash or a yo-yo string or a... You know, we'll call him Stretch Armstrong. We'll pull him back. So don't worry about that. You're going to see Bob again and hopefully many times. In fact, we've got hopefully some creative ideas where maybe we'll just do, you know, some lengthy meetings like the old timers used to do. We'll see about all that. We've got a clean slate. We can pray and ask God. Wouldn't that be a novel idea? Pray and ask God what he wants to do. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. See, we don't have to make a plan and ask God to bless it. We ask God for his plan, and it's already blessed. Hallelujah. I just feel like I have a heavy revy right there. You know what a heavy revy is. It's good to be here. Praise the Lord. Grandpa's in the house. And so I was so blessed reading the bulletins. And Donnie, you're still doing these, right? What a blessing that is. It catches you up so good. And the fact that the church family was able to give Bob an offering of over $2,000. Glory to God. That blesses me so much. Thank you. He's worth investing in. He's good soil to sow in. And how many of you believe in the law of sowing and reaping? Give and it shall be given unto you again. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Amen. Man will give into your bosom. Hallelujah. I thank God for that blessing on his life and Sharon. And then I was looking at Alan all over there in Sri Lanka. What a blessing. Y'all like Alan. I mean, it's a commandment. You have to. You have to love him, right? And he's so precious. And God led him here. You know, I don't know if he's ever bragged about his past, you know, but he grew up in our church, you know. When Alan came in as a little lost puppy, he had never read a Christian book and never listened to a sermon on tape. Now, that'll date you. Y'all remember tapes, right? Some of you might have one or two in a drawer somewhere, right? And Alan came in and was one of our early students at the, we called it ministry training school back then. Now it's leadership training school. And he went through that leadership training school. And by the time he was done, he was running the show. He was our first administrator. And now he's off in Sri Lanka preaching the gospel. You know, that's the fun part of being a grandfather. You get to see all the history of it, and then you just get to sit back and watch them do more than you could ever think of doing. Glory to God. I've been twice over there through Sri Lanka. Had a privilege of taking Bill there one time. And so I know what he's up against with the mosquitoes and the heat and the snakes and the false gods and the devils. Yeah, it's not like preaching in York, you know. See, the York devils wear nice suits. Over there, the devils don't wear nice suits. They don't dress up and put perfume on. They're real devils, you know. You're allowed to laugh. We're going to have the joy of the Lord whether you like it or not. It's a good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And so thank you, Lord, for your presence on Alan's life in Sri Lanka. Thank you that you keep him safe. Thank you, Father, for Pradeep and his lovely wife and children, that everything they do is blessed, that they're full of the power of God. They walk in the health and the healing in themselves, in their household. We thank you, Lord, that you give them wisdom in relating to other ministers. And we speak death to strife. We command strife among the body of Christ in Sri Lanka to come to an end. We thank you for unity and a move of the Spirit like that nation has never seen before. We bless you and we honor you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Of course, when I say all that, there's some really nice things about Sri Lanka. I think the beaches are more beautiful than Hawaii, to be honest. It's a beautiful country, and the food is incredible. And for those of you that know Alan, he's somewhat of a foodie. He really is. He'll tell you about restaurants in cities all over America because he's been there. I don't know how he remembers their menu, but he does. You know, I'll be in some city and he'll tell me, oh, you got to go to this restaurant and try this dish. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. He's not even looking on Google. He's just, you know, thinking about food. Sri Lanka's got great food. Praise God. Woo, glory. Let's go. We ought to all go. Praise the Lord. That'd be a good mission trip. The whole church. We just put a sign on the door. Gone for missions. I'm going to have fun today whether you do or not. So you just might as well jump in. Glory to God. Amen. We're at church. Glory to God. And I don't have to have a translator. Some of you might, I might speak redneck too much and you might need a little bit of a translation, but that's okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't God good? Did you all enjoy Brian Wills when he was here? Yeah, Brian's incredible. Incredible testimony. I love to hear testimonies. Revelations 12:11 says they overcame him. They meaning you, they meaning the church, they meaning believers, and they overcame him, him meaning the devil, the dragon, the serpent, the evil one, the enemy, right? They overcame him, or you could, you're going to stay biblical. We overcome the enemy. They overcame him, how? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Well, y'all don't need me. Look at that. You got the scripture. What do you? We all just ought to go home. We got it all. We need to renew it. We need to refresh our thinking, right? First of all, God wants you to overcome every obstacle in your life. God wants you to overcome every devil in your life. God wants you to overcome debt. God wants you to overcome fear. But see, we're wise enough to understand we have all got different obstacles, challenges. You know, one man's problem is pride. Another man's problem is lust. Another man's problem is greed. Another man, how many of you understand what I'm talking about? So you overcome all that. You overcome all that the same way. The answer is the same. The blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and love not their lives unto the death. And you know, I don't think we have any problem with the blood of the Lamb because we don't have any part in that except applying it. Right? I mean, you could fail to apply it. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We simply need to run to the Lord and remember, I missed it. The Bible says he's faithful and just. Faithful means he'll do it every time. You know, you run to the Lord, you think, well, you know, I've asked him to forgive me of this. I smoked a cigarette again. This is the 500th time I've asked you to forgive me, Lord. He's faithful. He's going to forgive you 501. You want to know why? Because when he forgives you, he forgets. As far as God's concerned, that's his first time you smoked a cigarette, not the 500th time. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Well, the Bible says he forgets your sin. You're the one remembering it. So, well, I fell again and I smoked again. What do you mean again? That's your first cigarette you ever smoked because you asked God to forgive you for the last 500. It's awful quiet in this Episcopalian church. We got to stir this place up. Well we know that, right? That's what righteousness is. When you ask him to forgive you, he forgets it. Now, I'll tell you what, this is a whole other sermon, maybe a whole 3-day seminar, but you ought to forget when your wife asked for forgiveness too. See, did you notice I walked to this end of the room? Now, when we deal with one another and we forgive one another, you ought to forget too. I learned that from Brother Hagin a long time ago. And you know, Terry and I have talked about it. We've looked into our past where there have been strife-filled problems. You know, I remember one fella, he'd given me a handgun as a gift. And then we fell out. And of course, he was wrong. Right? And I remember we took a walk to figure it out, and I gave him the handgun back. He said, you don't need to give me this. You don't need to give it back. I said, yeah, I do. I'm tempted to use it. That's a true story. We were at sorts. He was mad at me, and I was mad at him. I know you're just so holy, you've never been there. You're so holy, your flesh is just so pure, you don't even need a shower, right? Yeah. Come on. People think, well, Pastor Dale's perfect. Well, you ain't never talked to my wife, have you? There isn't anyone perfect but one, that is the Lord Jesus, right? So you know, he and I, we were mad. But then thank God we had a godly friend. And he flew across the ocean because he was mad at both of us for being stupid. Showed up on my doorstep. Here he had my estranged friend with him. And he says, we're going to set this straight. Come here. And he yelled at us like he was Grandpa. When we stood there in the living room, Terry was there, and he pointed into our faces. He says, now, repent. You love him. Yeah, I do. I love him. I do. I'm sorry. I love him. I'm sorry. And we blathered on one another and repented. And I got my gun back. It all came out fine. I didn't use it on him anyway. That's 30 years ago. I can't tell you why we was upset. I know he was wrong, but I can't. And I'm sure he remembers that I was wrong, but I... Why? Because you forget. You're supposed to forget. It's a godly thing. Because God gets your sin. Well, we ain't even got off the blood. But the blood's, it's been shed. You know, all you need to do is receive it. Walk in it. There ain't nothing like the blood of Jesus. Yeah, remember the old preacher? Some of you do. And those of you that don't, you need to get on YouTube. Thank God for YouTube. Keep some of these guys alive. But Lester Sumrall was a tremendous man of God. And he wouldn't have an altar call, but what they played, "Oh, the blood of Jesus." I mean, if you went to see Lester Sumrall preach, you're going to sing, "Oh, the blood of Jesus." Yeah, amen. I told John Fike years ago, I need a blood song, and I found out one by Leland. There's a better word. Oh, yeah, I like that's my blood song. But anyhow, we can sing that one a lot. You got me on that one? Yeah, I like that song. And so the blood, we overcome him by the blood. Number two, and this is where we're really pretty bad. I'm just going to be honest. You got a testimony? See, they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. See, your testimony is present tense. See, a lot of times you press people. I grew up in the Methodist church. God bless the Methodists for where they were. But part of every service. Now, it could be because before they were Methodists, they were United Brethren, then they merged. I don't know. But when I grew up, every service, people gave a testimony. It's part of the service. You'd have your songs, you'd have an offering, and then the old people would stand up and give testimony. And I remember, it is kind of humorous, but I forget his name. I think it was Art something. I don't remember his last name. Precious elderly man. But all the kids, of course, we'd make fun of him because he is missing a tooth. And every time he would say a word with S in it, he'd whistle. And it was funny. And it was prayer the Lord. I can't even do it, but you just listening to him was an experience. And he'd whistle through it, you know, and he'd move his head. Praise the Lord, you know, and he'd give a testimony. And every Sunday it was the same testimony. Well, no. Now I'm going to remember the things that God has done. But what did he do yesterday? See, he's alive. See, you got a testimony from this morning. Some of you wouldn't have made it here but for the grace of God. I know when I was young in the Lord, I was fortunate enough that I met up with a wild, crazy fellow by the name of Gene Olin. And Gene was wild. Gene had got a hold of faith. He was Catholic and got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he, as far as I know, he's still Catholic. He just on fire with Jesus and obeys the voice of the Lord. He was a radio announcer at WCTL, Christian radio station in Union City, way back. We're talking 70s. And, you know, one time he's given an announcement that there's a singles conference at Regent University. Well, it wasn't even Regent then. It was CBN. They hadn't started the university yet. And there's a singles conference in Virginia Beach. And the Spirit of the Lord said, "I want you to go there." So he folded the piece of paper up, put the microphone away, and got up, went into the office and said, "I quit," and walked out the door. Now, Gene didn't have a car. He rode a bicycle to the radio station. And so he takes his bike out to the end, and he leaves his bike at the end of the driveway of the radio station, and because he knows he can't go on the one highway, so he just starts walking south. Car comes up, he puts his thumb out, the car stopped, and, "Where are you going, buddy?" And he says, "I'm going to Virginia Beach." And they went, "What? So are we. Get in." They were on their way to Virginia Beach. They took him all the way to Virginia Beach. So he gets to Virginia Beach. This was my first testimony that I, when I met him, was right after this conference. And that's a testimony because it was so fresh, is what I'm talking about. So he goes to the conference and he walks in and he goes up to they say, well, you got to register. He goes up to the table, and he says, well, I haven't registered. And they said, well, it's, like $150 or something like that. And we're really sorry, but we're booked up. There's no room. He said, oh, well, God told me to come here. Well, I'm sorry, sir, but there's no room. Which didn't matter because he didn't have any money. So he went in the lobby of the hotel and he sat down and said, well, Lord, you told me to come here. Must be something. I'm going to bless somebody. And after a while, he's sitting there praying in tongues. After a while, this one fellow, it was a singles conference. This one fellow walks up to him and he says, sir, he said, the table over there said, you came here and there's no rooms and I just got an emergency back home. I got to leave. I got to go back. You know, I've got to handle this business emergency. Here's your room key. Here's your packet. Goodbye. I'm not making this up. So I started following this fellow around. He's wild. I mean, he's wild. He started learning about faith, and he said, well, I can believe God all things whatsoever you desire. Well, I'm really tired of buying deodorant. I believe I don't stink. I don't need deodorant. My body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. There's a sweet aroma. It's a true story. I'm not making this up. All right? And his faith was not sufficient. Okay, his faith wasn't there yet. So later in life, after he lived single long enough, we finally wisdom broke through, all right? But one thing I learned from him was testimony. We'd be praying, and he'd just stop in the middle of prayer. What's the Lord showed you? Lord, what's he showing you? And it was embarrassing. So he'd just put you on the stop, on the spot. You'd be some stranger. And he'd say, what's God showing you? And the stranger's like, what God? And it was his phrase, what's God showing you? So I tweaked it a little bit. I haven't said it for years. I was thinking about it yesterday. I wouldn't meet anybody but what I'd ask him, what's God teaching you today? What's the Lord teaching you? I used to make Bob Hawks mad because it put him on the spot. Finally, he figured out how to get back at me, I guess. And I said, Bob, what's God teaching you today? He says, oh, it's over your head. You wouldn't understand it. I quit asking him. He got me good, right? He got me good. But what was I after? I was after a fresh testimony. See, you live in that consciousness of what is God doing, and you'll have a testimony. See, that's how you overcome. You overcome when you realize God's at work in your problem. Yep. You say, well, I got this mountain of debt. What are you looking at the debt? Why don't you look at what God's doing in this? Because one of the first things I've seen, I don't know if you'll see it or not because of your circumstance, but one of the things I saw is, well, I was the idiot that got into debt. Sometimes it does get real quiet in here, right? I remember one time I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I was in a pickle. You know what I mean by being in a pickle? I was in a pickle. And I guess that's an old saying, but you understand it, right? I was in a pickle. You know what a pickle is? You ever have a pickle jar and the pickle's too big, you can't get it out? You're sitting there working and you can't get that thing out because it's too big. You got to get this little one beside it because it's sort of like Tetris. You got to get the right one out first because the big pickle is blocked. But I don't want to eat the little one. I want the big pickle. So that's where I was in a pickle. I didn't know how to get out of it. And I went to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I said, what would you do if you were in my position? And the Spirit of God immediately answered me. He says, first of all, I would never get in your position. I've never forgotten that. Yeah. See, now that's a testimony. See, God's with you in your problem. And he might be smiling. And he might be frowning, but he has not lost hope like you have. You know, I've had all these people call me, oh, you know, Trump got mad at Zelensky and there's an argument and everything is over. It ain't over. And no fat lady come out singing. It ain't over. God's, it didn't shock God. What's that? You ain't ever heard that? It ain't over till the fat lady sings. I didn't make that up. Don't blame me. Hey, President Trump said, we're woke no more. I can talk like this now. Last administration, I wasn't allowed to talk like this. Now I'm allowed to talk normal again. I had a pastor tell me yesterday, he said, after the election, I went to my wife and said, I'm not helping in the kitchen anymore. She said, why not? Because President Trump said there's only men and only women, and men are not allowed in women's sports. I said, that might be carrying it a little too far. You might want to temper that a little bit. You're going to find out your wife is better at boxing than you realized. So you got me off track. The word of our testimony. The word, you did it, yeah. The word of our testimony. Something that's fresh. Yeah, the Lord blessed me today. And it can be, if you look in Isaiah, the Bible says, and it's speaking of the Messiah, so speaking of Jesus, and he says, morning by morning, he wakeneth me, he opens my ear to hear as the learned. Now, remember, Jesus didn't have a theological education. He didn't get to go to, you know, Dallas Theological University or Rhema Bible Training Center. Where'd he get all this? See, even the scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't understand. Where'd he get all this wisdom? He got it by spending time alone each day with the Father. Right? And the Bible then goes on and says, you'll give me a word in season. See, God gives you a word in season to bless people. And that's the word of your testimony. That's where you overcome by spending time daily with the Lord, having a fresh walk with Jesus. I don't know if fresh is the right word, but I think you understand what I'm saying. Don't live in a testimony that's a legacy from 10 years ago. Now, I remember things. I've had some wonderful experiences with the Lord. I'm never going to forget them. And they're a part of my testimony. Don't misunderstand me. I thank God like the fellow in the Methodist Church. Every Sunday, I heard the same testimony. And it was of his salvation. And thank God for it. Amen? Because you need to hear that. But there's more in this verse, I believe. He's new, he makes his mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And you ought to have a fresh testimony of the Lord, but you will not have a fresh testimony from the Lord or in the Lord or of the Lord if you don't spend time with him every day and include him in your problems. Yeah, go shopping with him. You know, in enjoy life with him. You know, sometimes we need to turn the worship music off so we can worship. We're just covering. We're masking over our actually getting with him, because then when you get with him, you got to face up to the facts. But that word of that testimony is a fresh word, and that's how God dealt with me. And it's the reason I'm doing some things differently. I'll get off subject a little bit, but I've written a book a while ago. I hope you have a copy. Jesus is Alive. I'm not good at marketing myself, but this isn't me. It's the Word. It's sermons, and you can carry them around, you know, in your pocket, so to speak. what I wanted to bring these up here is it's time to start taking that book and giving it to people that are sick. We're talking about having a healing school. Well, first of all, show me that you're interested in the sick being healed. We don't need a school. We need people willing to go out. And these Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. See, that's your paddles on the end of your arms. Not my hands, your hands. You lay your hands on the sick. Let's get a mindset, and then we're going to have some testimonies of God moving on our personal life, all of us. That's how you overcome. Back in December, on my birthday, which was the 21st, the Lord gives me birthday presents. It's just something He's done. I don't know why. I'm really glad He does. I was 16 years old, driving home from work on my birthday, driving probably too fast in my Mercury Montego with a 351 Cleveland and my foot on the floor. And I was going down Fonstown Road. I can tell you, I could take you to the place near the old barn on the road where the Spirit of God came in the car, and just all the air left. Just God filled the car. And I couldn't look to my right because I'm sure I would see somebody. That's how strong it was to me. I was a 16-year-old teenager. And the Spirit of the Lord said, I would like to give you a birthday present. And I started bawling. And the Lord gave me a vision. And I saw myself as a very old man with white hair. And I was sitting on a stool on a pulpit preaching the Word of God. And I heard myself preach the entire sermon, the potential of the healer. And I drove home and I went running into my bedroom and I wrote out the whole outline of the sermon I'd heard myself preach. And I still have that piece of paper. And I tried to preach it once and the Lord reprimanded me and I had to stop in the middle of the sermon, folded it up and pretended something else. And because I don't have white hair yet and I don't need to sit on a stool. Although I did find that this beard's a little bit whiter than I like. So we're getting close. So every birthday, the Lord gives me a birthday present. And I'm more excited about my birthday than I am Christmas because I want to know what's the Lord going to give me. One time I woke up and the Lord said, I said, Lord, what's my birthday present? And the Lord said, I've got a surprise for you. And I'm like, oh, okay. And about an hour later, there was a knock on the door. The door opened, and a friend of mine from Hawaii, Bob McDonald, says, surprise! And I'm like, well, that just was sweet. Bob McDonald was my birthday present. Hallelujah. Stuff like that. One time I got up in the morning, and it was a Sunday. And I wasn't scheduled to preach. I was probably about 17 or 18 this time. And I was helping with a church in Titusville, Grace Fellowship. And I woke up in the morning and I said, Lord, what's my birthday present? And the Lord said, I'm going to give you a group of people. I think he gave me the number. I forget what it was, 8 or 9. I'm going to give you 9 people filled with the Holy Spirit today. And I thought, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So I went to church and the pastor said, I'm not feeling really well. Would you mind preaching this morning? I said, sure. I even know the sermon. So I got up and preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and exactly that number the Lord said got filled with the Holy Ghost. I like His birthday presents. So on December 21, this year, I got up and I was all excited. I was alone in Lviv, Ukraine. So I got up. I'm going to have a birthday today. Lord, what's my birthday? I got up and the Lord said, I'm going to give you 1,000 partners. Well, let me back up a little bit because, you know, I'm throwing all this money towards Ukrainian pastors to do what they need to do. Evacuations, getting elderly and children out of the front line. We had one evacuation where the pastor drove the van in and got in late at night. So he stayed in the home of another pastor while they brought some of the elderly together. And there about 10 o'clock at night, the pastor's house got hit by a drone and burned to the ground. So right in the middle of the evac, they're having to, you know, nobody was hurt. Thank God they escaped. But right in the middle of the evacuation, they're under artillery fire, drone attacks, et cetera. And so what we do is we prepay the gas because the crucial thing is on the frontline areas, there is no gas because the military takes it all. And you'll go into a gas station and it's all zeroed out, but there's gas there, but it's for the military. It's to put in, you know, into their vehicles because they need it. And unless you have a special permission that goes really, really high, you're not going to get gas. And how do you do an evacuation when you don't have any gas? So the gas companies actually came to us. I mean, this is a testimony. And the gas companies came to us and they said, we like what you're doing. And we come up, three of these gas companies, different, I'll give you an example, Exxon and BP and whatever. Imagine, they're all competitors, right? They came to us together and they figured it out. They wanted to help humanitarian aid. And they said, look, if you prepay for the fuel, then we know where you're drawing it from. We can resupply it so we meet the military's requirements. And this way, we can supply gas to these needs. And so we prepay for the gas, and they give us a 3% discount when we prepay. And we use QR codes. So a pastor's coming out on an evac, literally in 5 minutes, he can say, I need gas. This is where I'm at. My assistant throws a QR code to his Telegram channel, boom, and the guy shows the QR code at the pump, and that authorizes him to receive it, and we know where he got it, we know when he got it, and we know how many liters. So we got all that in a spreadsheet, and away they go, you know, to safety. So we spent a lot of money on that. And then we resupplied a hospital in January. And the hospital contacted us. We're out of all these medicines. 2 pages on a spreadsheet. And, you helped us 2 years ago. We were wondering maybe you could help us because we don't have these things. And, you know, when you get shot, it's nice to have a painkiller.